Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Maoist Internationalist Movement. Puerto Rican prisoners of war are out of prison, but the imperialists attach strings.
Torture technology advances in Wisconsin.
The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown. 11 Puerto Rican prisoners of war were released from the U.S. prisons in mid-September 1999 after accepting President Clinton's clemency offer. As MIMNOS reported when the offer was made, this release came with strings attached. MIM welcomes these revolutionaries back, but emphasizes that the conditions placed on their release illustrates continued U.S. control over Puerto Rico. The struggle for Puerto Rican independence and freedom from imperialist control continues. The Puerto Rican heroes were required to announce American-defined terrorism and will not be allowed to interact with people with a criminal record, including one another, in addition to being required to report regularly to a probation officer and follow other restrictive parole conditions. These Puerto Rican independistas were convicted of seditious conspiracy, essentially charged with the crime of planning the overthrow of the U.S. government. Puerto Rico is a colony occupied by the United Snakes. Puerto Ricans cannot commit seditious conspiracy against another country. Their convictions just help to reveal the complete lack of justice in the American imperialist system. Two other prisoners rejected the clemency offer. Oscar Lopez, who has served 19 years in prison and must still serve another 25 years, was only offered clemency to reduce his remaining time to 10 years. Antonio Camacho Negron, who also refused the clemency offer, is scheduled to be released in 2002. Two of the released prisoners of war are returning to Chicago, and the other nine decided to return to Puerto Rico. Upon their return to Puerto Rico, they were received as heroes of the people. Even political conservatives like the mayor of a small town in the south of Puerto Rico praised one released prisoner's action as a fight to defend his country. Puerto Ricans have been American citizens since the U.S. forced Commonwealth status on the island in 1917 by placing a willing puppet in power. But although they can be drafted into the army, Puerto Ricans have no vote in presidential elections and no representatives in Congress. The U.S. has a tight grip on the economy of the island, but the bones it has thrown the Puerto Rican people, including the right to receive welfare and other social programs, have brought some amount of allegiance from the majority of the Puerto Rican population, which voted against independence from the U.S. Nonetheless, there is strong opposition to U.S. interference in Puerto Rican affairs, and in recent months, a tremendous national outcry has been seen in ongoing protests against the U.S. military presence at the Puerto Rican island of Vieques. As the crowds greeted the returning patriots in San Juan, they responded with few comments restricted by the conditions of their release. As one released POW, Adolfo Matos, said, "My jail has now become a cell with invisible bars, and the words I speak will be like those of a caged bird." As Elizam Escobar pointed out, the parole conditions which prohibit him from associating with his fellow convicts are, quote, "are more proof of our colonial condition." There's been a large and growing opposition to the imprisonment of the Puerto Rican POWs, and this year alone, activists submitted 75,000 signatures to the White House demanding their release. After President Clinton offered clemency, more than 100,000 people marched in San Juan to demand the prisoners receive an unconditional release. At the airport, supporters gathered to greet the returning prisoners, chanting, "Colonialists, the real terrorists." The released Puerto Rican prisoners of war recognize the reactionary nature of the U.S. government and understand that their release from behind the bars of U.S. prisons does not signal their freedom from persecution by the imperialists. They have planned to be accompanied by someone wherever they go outside, in case they are framed. MIM agrees with this necessary caution and realistic approach to repression and the U.S. criminal injustice system. The condition that the independistas renounce terrorism is laughable. The United Snakes of Imperialism commits genocide, imposes economic and military hegemony, and steals from the majority of the world's population. The America-dominated imperialist system is responsible for the death of millions of people, ranging from the indigenous people slaughtered by early American settlers, to children who have inadequate medical supplies in Iraq, to the victims of massacres committed by the U.S. armed fascists, and the list goes on. Yet in America, it is considered terrorism to fight for genuine self-determination and an end to the foreign annexation of Puerto Rico. Increasingly, after the release of the revolutionaries, letters to the editor, radio shows, and television commentaries have given extensive space to settler reactionaries who say that the Puerto Rican, quote, terrorists should not have been released. And politicians were tripping over themselves to condemn Clinton's action as a concession to terrorists. The House of Representatives voted 311-41 to condemn Clinton's action. The white nation, chauvinist whiners completely ignore the fact that these prisoners of war had already served longer than the average sentence for the crimes for which they were convicted. If these closet KKKers cannot reason based on that point, there is little chance of getting them to admit that the U.S. domination of Puerto Rico is imperialist neocolonialization. Amnesty International revealed their pro-imperialist colors and spoke out about the clemency offer to explain why they will not give the Puerto Rican prisoners the status of prisoner of conscience. They said, to be a prisoner of conscience, you cannot commit violence, and you cannot advocate violence. Speaking of the organizations that the Puerto Rican revolutionaries belong to, Amnesty International spokesperson Sean Crowley said, this is a terrorist organization. These people don't qualify. MIM agrees with the supporters of the prisoners who pointed out that the colonialists are the real terrorists. The U.S. government commits and funds terrorism all over the world, only stepping forward to condemn violence when that violence is aimed at the imperialists or might hurt imperialist interests. Groups like Amnesty International occasionally take progressive stances on individual issues, like their recent condemnation of some aspects of the American criminal justice system. But in general, the position that pacifism is the only correct stance plays right into the hands of the imperialists. By pretending neutrality, Amnesty and other pacifists end up supporting the status quo by condemning the only viable fight against repression. MIM understands the necessity of armed struggle by the oppressed to end the tyranny of the imperialist minority, and we defend the rights of oppressed peoples everywhere to engage in this revolutionary battle. We also recognize the need to study history and carefully evaluate material conditions before waging armed struggle. Right now, within U.S. borders, the revolutionary forces are not strong enough relative to the imperialists to successfully begin an armed struggle. Instead, our battle is waged in the legal and educational arena, including this program. MIM does not agree with the actions of FOCOists who believe that a few sensational military battles will lead to a mass uprising and an overthrow of the American government. These actions reveal an incorrect analysis of American society and an underestimation of the strength of the government. The majority of people within U.S. borders, bought off with the super profits of imperialism, will support the imperialists and call for greater militarization in the face of revolutionary FOCOist attacks. And the government will use such actions as an excuse to crack down on all activists. Without the support of the people, the revolutionary forces will not be able to defeat this counterattack from the government. As a Maoist revolutionary party based in a dialectical materialist analysis of history and current conditions, MIM is currently building a base of support within the belly of the imperialist beast and within the U.S.-occupied territory of Puerto Rico. We call on all activists to continue the fight for the release of all prisoners held for the crime of anti-imperialist organizing. At the same time, we call on activists to recognize that the nature of the criminal injustice system makes all prisoners political prisoners. This is illustrated by the imperialists denying oppressed nationals a trial by their peers, placing arrests, trials, and sentencing in the context of a chauvinist court system, which is set up to serve the interests of the imperialist system. Join MIM in our fight to end the American lockdown and ultimately to overthrow imperialism and replace this oppressive society with one that truly serves the interests of the majority of the world's people.
Torture technology advances in Wisconsin. In September, more than 18,000 people from four states attended tours at an open house for Bosco Bell, Wisconsin's new Supermax prison. Just as the torture techniques of the Illinois TAMS CMAX prison were modeled closely after other U.S. dungeons, this and other new supermaximum security prisons are replicating and expanding on the TAMS model. This inhumane project of torture is popular in the small town of Bosco Bell. The contract to build the 509-cell prison brought a $44 million boon to the region's budget. Reactionary white America supports the proliferation of such prisons because they simultaneously lock up the oppressed and provide jobs for rural whites. America justifies the proliferation of supermaxes within the booming prison system as a way to allegedly control the worst criminals. Such a justification puts the issue of crime upside down. The worst criminals in America are the imperialists because of their crimes against the people of oppressed nations throughout the world. Supermaxes are certainly used as a method of control. Many politically active prisoners are housed in supermaxes as a means to deter prisoners from fighting for basic necessities and organizing against oppression. MIM does not say that all prisoners in supermaxes or in prisons in general should be automatically freed, but we do see that the current system is doing nothing to lead prisoners that have committed crimes to rehabilitate and to contribute productively to society. The Pelican Bay State Prison Secure Housing Unit in far northern California is a model among supermax builders. TAMS CMAX in Illinois was built after planning visits to Pelican Bay. All supermax prisons pursue sensory deprivation tactics, though each puts on its own localized touches. A prisoner wrote in the Journal of Prisoners on Prisons, quote, "Colors, when used, are muted, mostly just off-white, white, and gray." Even though the region surrounding the prison uses local cable television or satellite broadcast, this prison points its dish at, of all places, Denver, Colorado. "I suggest that the reason is to isolate us from local events," end quote. 36 U.S. states now have similar facilities and offer no pleasantries to cover the fact that, quote, "We don't try to rehabilitate these guys." As an assistant to the warden at the Florence Federal Administration Maximum Prison put it, the prison is designed to enforce conditions including complete isolation from other prisoners and from sunlight, a minimum of 23 hours per day in the cell, which contains all concrete and steel furniture. Like most other prisons, the new Supermax at Bosco Bill, Wisconsin, is a great distance from the state's population center, meaning that visits with family, friends, and attorneys will be difficult. In most control unit prisons, being confined without clothing in 50-degree cells, limited access to reading and writing materials, and rare visitor privileges are normal torture tactics for the pigs. Bosco Bill is unlikely to be any different. According to the state of Wisconsin's Public Relations Department, quote, "The Supermax prison will house the state's most violent inmates in the state's most secure facility," end quote. If this were true, it would make Wisconsin the only revolutionary authority in the United States. The most violent prisoners in Wisconsin would have to be the governor and deputies running the prisons and the police departments. Then maybe we could also count on Wisconsin to seize and incarcerate chiefs of American military and political affairs when they traipse through on their campaign trails. In the September issue of MIM Notes, a Wisconsin prisoner recorded on the preparations for the new Supermax. Quote, "They are using all kinds of tricks to put us Africans and Hispanics on what they call administrative confinement. The catch is that they say the ones on administrative confinement have a 75 to 90% chance of going to the Supermax. I believe the reason for this is to fill up the Supermax as soon as it opens. If it is filled immediately, they can justify to those fools in society the building of more prisons," end quote. The pre-opening tour of the prison was designed to build support for an ever-increasing police state. Visitors on the six-day state fair-style tour of the prison believe these prisoners are getting more privilege than they deserve in the lower security facilities. The tourists included more than 3,000 school children, America's newest inductees into the reactionary nation accustomed to dehumanization of oppressed nation members. The majority who spoke to newspapers about the prison approved either supermax repression or worsening brutality against prisoners. A Milwaukee newspaper reported visitors saying of the supermax, "It's a step in the right direction," and "They left their rights when they committed the crimes." A woman said that executing the prison's prospective inmates would be a better use of tax money. In the land of failure to do simple math and understand the function of prisons, many visitors to the Supermax were shocked by the $32,000 it will cost to house a captive there for 1 year. Including living expenses, it cost about a third of that, or $11,000, to send a student to the University of Wisconsin at Madison. But Wisconsin doesn't spend $32,000 a year to help prisoners. Billions a year are spent in America, first to repress the Black, Latino, and Indigenous nations, and second to subsidize rural white communities. MIM has long criticized the prison building craze as part of a wild jobs creation program for rural American labor aristocrats. In formerly farming or industrial towns, prisons bring construction and guard jobs, turning a company town into a prison town. And in Boscobel, Wisconsin, whites just get another boost while the pressure increases on the victims of American imperialism.
This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league and Maoist internationalist movement program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, 01004, or email radio@mim.org.